Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles today, please turn with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19. Jesus is speaking. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence, praising your name, magnifying your name, worshiping your precious and wonderful name. Lord, we're unworthy. Unworthy. David said that we're unworthy of the least of thy mercies. And as perhaps the hymn says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." We're so grateful that Jesus gave his life for us, that we could go free, that we could make it to heaven, and that we could live free and above sin. And Lord, we praise you for this, and we thank you. I pray for every one of my listeners, whatever troubles they may have, whatever strife in the home or illness or who knows what. I believe that you are able, in every circumstance, to do something, to help in some way. We won't presume to tell you what to do. You're the Lord and we're the servants. But Lord, have mercy upon your servants and heal where is necessary. Deliver where it needs it, we ask in Jesus' name. And for this sermon, God, open the ears and eyes of the understanding as Paul prayed. Give us understanding and wisdom and knowledge, and help us to take the Word of God and apply it to our lives and live by its precepts. And Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Don't know about you, but I enjoy serving God. I enjoy living for Him. I enjoy the things of God, if it's prayer or Bible reading or study or telling someone about the Lord, or I'm a musician, I sing, what have you. I enjoy doing that for God. It's not a drudgery. It's not dead religion. This thing changed my life when Jesus came into it. Changed my life, and I'm so glad to be a servant of the Lord. So let's go ahead and get down to business, I suppose. Jesus said, "Don't lay up for yourselves or store for yourselves treasures upon earth, but instead, to store things in heaven." Now, I've never been to heaven, not yet. Praise God, not yet, but I'm going to get there one day. I've got things stored here and there, in a closet perhaps, or a shed or something. Maybe got money in the bank, depending on what year it is. I store things down here. I understand that. And for a rainy day, or for if I've got a tool that's in the box, and when I need it, I know where it's at, I can go get it. We understand the idea of storing things. But he says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but instead, store your stuff in heaven. Now, how do you, if you have a toolbox full of stuff, how do you put that in heaven? Well, he's making, obviously, a comparison. But he says, if you store things on earth, moths Of course, we have cedar closets and indoor air conditioning and mothballs and pest control, and so moths are not a problem in our day and age, but maybe Grandpa can tell you about moths and what have you. But it says, where moths and rust doth corrupt. You know, we can get a brand new car if you're privileged to do it. I've never owned a new car, but I've gotten cars here and there. But they always wear out. The tires wear out. The brakes wear out. Got to get those replaced. Eventually, the paint job goes down the tube and things start breaking. Water pump, what have you, transmission, whatever. Nothing lasts, is what he's saying. Oh, and thieves can break through and steal. I've had things stolen from me from time to time, too. I understand that. But he says, this life is temporary. This life is temporary. You know, my family is, I guess, pretty long-lived. My mom's in her 70s. My dad was in his 70s when he died. Grandpa, what have you. They all lived pretty old, I suppose. And, you know, God helps me, I'll live that long as well, I suppose. But 70 years is nothing, really, in the face of heaven. In all of Jesus' preaching, he always talks about eternity and how short life is. The apostles, the same thing. The Old Testament saints, David would have you, they always talked about, hey, you know, pretty soon it's going to be over. And we'll be in the next life, if it's up or down. And we should be concerned about that. But he says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And I believe that is his point. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, when I was a kid, we used to have a camp in the marsh, and every weekend we'd go Friday night, and we'd come back Sunday night, and, you know, we had a long weekend, I guess, as long as we could stretch it, down at the camp. And fishing or whatever, that's what we did, hunting or whatever. And that's understandable, you know, I'm a Cajun, that was my way of life. Those things were precious to us. But sometimes we get involved and invested in other things. We've got our TV show every Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday or whatever night of the week that your favorite show comes on. You've been watching it for years. You don't want to miss it. You're invested in whatever show. And I'm not trying to preach against television. That's not my point. But my point is this, we invest in things down here that they're fun, I suppose. Want to see what he does next week, you know. Same bat time, same bat channel, okay, I just dated myself, I guess. But these things consume our lives. They dominate our thoughts. It's what we talk about at work. It's what we think about. Maybe we'll buy a t-shirt. Or some little knick-knack to put on the wall that is from the show, some kind of souvenir or whatever from the show. And again, I'm not trying to preach against television. I'm trying to make a point. These things dominate our thoughts and they can rule our lives. But he said in verse 22 and 23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. What are you looking at? What are you gazing at? What do you focus your attention upon? He said, if your eye be single, okay, that's archaic language, I suppose. But if your gaze is steadfast toward the Lord, toward the things of God, then your whole body shall be full of light. If you're trying to live for God, if you go to church when you can, maybe Bible study or Sunday school or something like that, you try to read for yourself, maybe you got a favorite preacher, I hope it's me on the radio that you like to listen to and study behind. If instead of the stuff they play on the radio, you prefer to sing to yourself one of the tunes maybe the choir sang last week. Me, I like choruses and what have you. I prefer Christian music. I prefer the stuff we play at church and sing at church to the stuff they play on the radio. That's just what it is. God changed me 30 years ago almost. I used to listen to rock and roll and whatever else. But my tastes changed, and I'm so grateful for it. And I love the things of God. I mean, some of that old stuff sounds good, I suppose. It's catchy. I'm a musician. I like 70s music. I grew up during that time. I understand that. But I prefer to sing for God. And it says, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart toward the Lord. My eye is single. I'm looking toward the Lord, and you should be as well. If your eye is single, your gaze is focused upon the Lord. He's the light of the world, doesn't it say? I believe in John. Then your whole body will be full of light. You'll live right. You're not going to want to go to the bars. You're not going to want to hang out with those other guys, maybe. Some TV shows, you're going to say, well, no, that's not for me. I don't do that stuff no more. And you're going to turn it off. If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. But then he says, if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If you're thinking about carousing and partying and whatever else, and then those are evil things, and your whole body will be full of darkness. But then he makes an interesting statement. He says, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? You can look at the Lord or you can look at the world, but he says if you are consumed with it, the world, and that's what guides you, your favorite TV shows, your favorite philosophies, your favorite video games, your favorite whatever, those things consume you, and that is your light, which is all darkness. That's all evil, that kind of stuff. Sin and what have you, that's evil. Then how great is that darkness? Honestly, if all you think about is the things of the world and the sin that's in them, the pleasures of sin for a season, then your life is shipwrecked. But how many things do we steadfastly look at? I mentioned TV shows and video games, and this Pinterest and Facebook and who knows what else. I'm not a football fan, but I understand football's right around the corner. And football's good, I suppose. I used to go, when I was much younger, I used to go to games sometimes. And that's entertainment, that's good, but you know as well as I do that most people are absolutely consumed by it. What are you looking steadfastly at? Let's talk about church. I've preached against religion just last week, for instance. If your idea of the things of God is your church or your denomination, which is better than the church or denomination down the road or across the street, brother, I got to tell you, ours is better, etc. And we said last time, that's just not spiritual to compare yourself like that. But if all you see is your church or your denomination or your men's group or your choir and our choir is better than their choir, what have you, or television, those preachers on TV, you know, we hang on their every word, everything they say. We got to call our friends. Do you hear what so-and-so said? And you talk about what the preacher said. Now, I'm not opposed to the Word of God. You please, by all means, discuss the Word of God. But we'll get to these preachers in a minute. But there's American Idol, there's politics, cars, there's clothes, appearance, what have you. Makeup is a billion and billion and billion dollar industry every year. Clothes, etc. Advertising, you got to have new stuff. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? He says in verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is a word that means the things of the world. You're going to live for God and do right and have a desire to be in church instead of in the bar? Or are you going to serve the world and the god of this world, which is Satan? We understand that. You're going to serve God and live right for Him, or you'll end up serving someone else. But verse 25, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat or food, and the body more than raiment or clothes? Life is more than what you had for supper last night, or what you're going to have for lunch tomorrow. Life is more than, man, I got me some new 501s or whatever. Got me a gold chain or whatever the case, whatever you're into. Life is more than that. Life is more than that. Now, as far as food, I'm a coon ass. I love gumbo and jambalaya, dirty rice, boudin, what have you. Those things, they mean an awful lot to me. But life is more than my Cajun heritage and the food that I love. Life is more than that. He says in verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, the birds of the air, for they sow not, they don't plant, they don't have tractors, whatever. Neither do they reap nor gather in the barns. They don't know what a harvest is. They don't know when to plant. They don't know when to water. They don't know anything about fertilizer, the birds. But he says, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And he says, are you not much better than they?" A bird didn't have to think about anything except, man, I'm awake now. I wonder if there's a worm. Or maybe there's a seed or something, whatever the bird likes to eat. That's all the bird thinks about. He doesn't have to worry about where it comes from. He just wakes up and goes get it, because God provides it. But he says, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit or one foot to your stature?" You know, you can watch all the advertisements on TV about the weight gain and weight loss and the different workout videos and whatever, but you can bulk up a little bit, but you can't grow 1 inch, much less a cubit, which is a foot and a half. You can't do it. You just can't do it. And if you can't, he says, then why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even King Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed or arrayed like one of these. King Solomon, richest man that ever lived, as far as we know, at least before modern times. Obviously, a king is going to be dressed to the nines. Obviously, the king's going to have gold and what have you, gold woven into his clothing and what have you, strands of gold, what have you. But some little lily that grows by the side of the ditch, I guess in Louisiana, we have lilies that grow by the sides of ditches. God says that's more beautiful, better dressed than King Solomon. Again, from God's perspective, he sees things a little bit differently, doesn't he? "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" If God can care for the birds and the grass and the flowers, he can care for you, he's saying. But this little phrase here, if God can clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. Back then, in biblical times, they did burn grass for various things. But there's another reference here. There's the fact that very soon, don't know when, but very soon, Jesus is coming back. The end of the world is near. The Battle of Armageddon, what have you. The end of the world is near, and Jesus is going to return and upset everyone's apple cart. And the things that we hold so dear down here, they're going to burn up. And those that didn't live for God, they're going to burn up. Again, perspective. The world will end one day, and I believe soon, and judgment awaits. However you lived, and what we preached at so far today, what were you looking at? What were you invested in? What were you concerned about? The latest video game? The latest TV show? What happened to the star out in Hollywood? You know, who they shacking up with or whatever. If those things matter to you, it says that heaven and what Jesus did for you and God's love for you, John 3:16, doesn't really matter to you. You need to get your priorities right. But he says in verse 31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal, or how shall we be clothed? For all of these things do the Gentiles seek. In this context, it means sinners. You're sitting in church, going to church every week, whatever, every Sunday, been doing so for years, and you're fretting. What am I going to wear? And not in the context of, well, I don't know if I have a clean shirt tomorrow, but am I not going to have a shirt that is in style? Got to have the latest fashion? One I had last year ain't no good? Which is kind of silly. Because that's what the world thinks about. That's what the sinners who aren't in church, who don't love God, who are not born again, whose name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, those are the ones that are fretting about all of these things. What are you doing, Christian? Fretting just like the sinners. Trust God. He can put a beautiful lily by the side of the ditch, or a beautiful bird to pass overhead. He can take care of you too, O ye of little faith. But he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Quit fretting, put your trust in God. But verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, in the last few years, I don't know how to pick out clothes. I just don't. I don't really have a sense of style or fashion. I can look and say, well, that don't look good, but I don't know how to pick the things that do look good. And there have been several silk shirts that were given to me. Some very nice shirts, and I end up going to church in silk that I probably can't afford and wouldn't know which ones to pick out and don't even know what stores to go to look for that stuff. God provided these things for me, and I don't know that I necessarily even asked for silk, but He provided. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, tomorrow, for the next day, what have you. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow and the troubles of tomorrow, because you get enough troubles today. You know, these are hard sayings. These are very difficult things that the Lord is teaching us. First off, to give up your entire lifestyle, perhaps. You know, kids end up in high school, whatever, and their whole life is concerned about external things that don't matter. They're concerned about, do they have the latest music on the latest iPad? Do they have the latest telephone, cell phone, what have you? Do they have the right ringtone? Or are they wearing the right kind of t-shirt or blue jeans or tennis shoes? The person in class next to them in fifth period, you know, they're going to be dressed better than them. And have, that's all they think about. And absolutely none of that matters at all, really. They don't think about what kind of a job am I going to have when I get out of school, or can I go to college, or am I going to have a job? Am I going to be able to get a job in this horrible economy? The things that truly matter, they're oblivious. But trusting God, forsaking all of the things that we concern ourselves with, and just trusting God that He's going to provide clothes. And in my case, nice clothes, amazingly. Not just so I got some ratty blue jeans, but He gave me silk. I can't believe it. God can provide. But we have a task, and that is to trust Him. That is to quit holding on so tightly to the things that we have and our understanding of where our provisions or supply is coming from or what have you, to let go and to trust God. It's a hard thing. It's really a hard thing. It's one thing to say, okay, I'll go to church every Sunday. Or I guess they want me to go sing in the choir, so I guess I'll do it. It's one thing. But to quit fretting and to quit being concerned about do you have the latest makeup or perfume or whatever the case, that's a hard thing. And to trust God, to quit fretting about am I going to be able to get a job or, you know, I've been looking for a raise, am I going to get it or what have you. And I don't know if I can pay the rent this month, just like last month. I didn't know if I could pay it or whatever the case. These things rightfully concern us. There's no question. Are my kids sick and got to take them to the doctor and can't afford the medicine or whatever the case? These things concern us, but He says to trust Him, to just relax in Him and trust Him. And that is a very difficult thing to do. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.